Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
To celebrate the new year, we wanted to get a gift for you. So, not you. So, in the back table by the coffee and on the table here, we have study Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible or a study Bible specifically, please take one of those. If we run out, let me know. I'll get you one. But these are great. They have the text of the Bible in them, along with all kind of notes and resources to help you better understand what you're reading. So we don't just want you to have a Bible, we want you to understand it. And these are just a great, great tool. So if you don't have one, please take it. If you do have a Bible, I have a question. What kind do you carry? Is your Bible fairy-sized? That's a real thing. It is a real thing. Do you lug around the family heirloom Bible that could double as a boat anchor? Does your Bible smell of aromatic leather and rich mahogany? Is your devotional tool digital? If so, you might be responsible for one of the 800 million downloads of the YouVersion Bible app. It's one of the most popular apps in the world. Makes the Bible available in over 2,000 languages. It's open 270 times per second. And something really cool, this is one of the most downloaded apps in the world, and it's free. People who could have made a lot of money off this said, no, we want God's Word available. So it's free. And the app recently revealed its most popular verse of 2024. And YouVersion's founder and CEO, Bobby Greenwald, he believes the popularity of this verse is a sign of people looking to God during times of uncertainty. He said, to me, this verse being sought out the most this year is an illustration that our community is seeking God in prayer and choosing to trust him to carry their burdens. Do you know the verse? Have we created enough anticipation? Is this making you anxious? Good news, because the verse of 2024 was do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4, 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Do we live in an anxious time? Does the constant barrage of news, does it encourage peace, or does it urge anxiety? Right? This year's news headlines are, they're as unsettling as the world we live in, right? The war in Ukraine has passed the 1,000-day mark. The Israel-Hamas war rages on and absorbs neighboring countries. There's civil war in Sudan. There's terrorism here at home just this week. Record-breaking wildfires burned much of South America, while Kenya and Brazil are waterlogged from historic flooding. There's also real sadness. Bennifer is once again just Ben and Jennifer. But the popularity of Philippians 4:6 is a reflection of the time we find ourselves in. It says, don't be anxious about anything when anxiety pays the bills for news outlets. Right? Give thanks when the constant release of new technology makes dissatisfaction normal. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the Apostle Paul wrote these words to encourage the church in Philippi. And the letter emphasized the value of pursuing joy regardless of circumstances. And Paul captures this tension all throughout the letter by regularly referencing the chains of prison and the freedom found in Christ. And Philippians is known as the happiest book of the Bible. Had you heard that? Philippians is referenced as the happiest book of the Bible, and it was written in prison by a man who had spent most of his life attacking the church and persecuting followers of Jesus. So let's hear a little of Paul's story. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9. If you guys get serious and take those study Bibles, I will preach from one of those and tell you what page number it's on. So Acts 9. But Saul, that's Paul's Hebrew name, same person. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way was the original name of followers of Jesus. So if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." So after this interaction, Paul loses his sight. He doesn't eat or drink for 3 days. He then learned about Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus. He regained his sight. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized. In verse 20, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Paul was transformed, right? He experienced a metamorphosis that even a monarch would consider a miracle. So what brought about this change? Right, he went from attacking the church to saying Jesus is the Son of God. What brought about this change? He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus." He talked with God. It was a chat with Jesus that changed his life. And what is a simple definition of prayer other than a talk with God? So today, that's our focus, is prayer. In 2 weeks, we're going to start a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, which I think is a great way to start our year and life as a new church, studying what Jesus told his followers, "Here's how you follow me." And the takeaway is, to follow Jesus, we should be quite unlike the world. So we're going to spend a lot of time in that. Today we're talking about prayer. Next week we're going to focus on trusting God, two things that will bring us closer to him in this new year. But today is all about prayer. And what's a simple definition of prayer other than talking with God? But could it be so simple that prayer is just talking with God, pleading with our provider, giving thanks to the giver of life? If it's so simple, why is it so hard to do? Why would we choose worry and imitate a gas station hot dog wiener and just roll around all night in our beds instead of just talking to God? I'll give you a moment to get that image out of your head, and we'll move on. But if God invites us to trust him, why do we drag around our burdens instead of laying them at his feet in prayer? Right, why have we become experts at imagining worst-case scenarios than just talking to God in prayer and surrendering to him? Maybe you're like me, and you don't fully understand prayer. Right, what should be a comforting conversation has become a confusing chore. But what if today and this year we discover or rediscover the wonder of prayer? So to do that, we're going to take YouVersion's most popular verse from last year and look at it. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So there are three practical tools in this verse that help us understand talking with God. First is prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. So first we look at prayer. The first half of the Greek word that's translated as prayer, naturally I want to say is pros, but it's pros. You can say it with me, with Greek flair, pros. That's fun, right? So that first half of that word, it means toward. The prayer is the idea of drawing close. Prayer is simply drawing close to God. Whatever it helps you to push away the world and draw close to God is prayer. Drawing close to him. And maybe that means your hands are folded, your eyes are closed. Maybe you are in a closet. Maybe you're in a quiet place. Some of my most intentional and deepest prayer happens when I'm running. And I'm with my dog running in and out of school traffic, so I can only close my eyes like half the time. But whatever it is that helps you push away the world and draw close to God is prayer. And it really is that simple to start. We just draw close to God. And an undeniable phenomenon occurs when we do that. We're reminded who God is. When we draw close, we remember that he's always with us. Right? We start to see our problems in view of his power. What he's provided in the past becomes proof of his promises for the future. As a jeweler leans in and admires the intricacies of a beautiful jewel with his magnifying loop, we lean into God, and our awe of him is restored. So after we've established an accurate view of God, we talk about what we need. That was an intentional use of words. I didn't say we tell God what we need. I said we talk with God about what we need. Right? It implies that we listen. That talking to God is a two-sided craft that involves talking and listening. And our tool for this is supplication. Supplication is a sincere expression of needs for ourselves and for others. And this can involve regrets from the past, like we just sang that his mercy is more. Like things from your past may come to mind, and you can say, thank you, God. I need to be reminded of the depth of your mercy. They can be concerns for today. It can be fears for the future, because God wants to hear any concern that presses on our heart. He wants to know every feeling that weighs us down. Like, can you tell something's wrong when your friend tells you about life at home? You can ask God to help them. Do fears about health rob your focus in the moment? You can talk to God about it. Does a broken heart refuse to open up? You can ask God to soften those places that have grown hard. And maybe there's something God's calling you to do and you're hesitant to try because you might fail. Talk to God about it. Tell him you need his help. This is what supplication is, just honestly talking with God about what we need. And finally, we conclude our talk with God in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is where we eat too much, we watch the Cowboys lose, and we find the line between political talks and domestic disputes. Anybody know that reference? Did God give you peace when you shot those free throws? Thank him. Did he comfort you during illness? Thank him. He helped you bite your tongue when you wanted to say you were right? Thank him. And your spouse will thank him too. Thanksgiving is appreciating God. What do we teach our children to say as soon as they're able? Thank you. Yeah, thanksgiving is a simple practice of saying, God, thank you. Did God give you wisdom in the moment? Or strength when you needed it, or peace in chaos? Thank him. Try to outdo your list of needs with a generous giving of things. Right? What tends to become boring or intimidating or routine can be revived through a simple understanding of prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. It's not as complicated as we try to make it sometimes. We just draw close to God, remember who he is, talk with him about what we need, and thank him for what he's done. And that's prayer. The French bishop, theologian, and poet François Fenelon said this about prayer in the Middle Ages. He said, tell God all that is in your heart, as one unloads one heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you to conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself as to others. In summary, what he's saying is through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, tell God everything. Right? He's listening. He cares. He genuinely cares. And his hands are big, and he can carry it all. And what's the result? If we really do this and we trust God in prayer, what happens? Paul goes on to tell us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Trading our worry for God's ability welcomes his peace. And the word that Paul uses here for peace is actually a military term that means standing guard. This is not a flower power peace where everything is rainbow and lollipops. It's far from it. This is a peace that recognizes there is a war raging for our very souls. There's a battle that if we could see it with our human eyes would leave us shaking. But the peace of God promises the protection of the Almighty. The security of the creator of the world, of the sustainer of life, standing guard over us. It's not the absence of conflict, but it is the authority of God standing guard over his children and giving us his rest and his peace. And when it says his peace surpasses our understanding and our ability, it means we could never dream or scheme a plan that would produce the peace that trusting God gives us. We could never even imagine it. But when we open our hands and release our grip, God stands guard and gives us his peace. Because how has worry worked out for you in the past? Has it ever done much good? It's like running on a treadmill. It's a whole lot of work that goes nowhere. Now, sometimes I want to acknowledge, it's easy to say some of this, and sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we need the support of a counselor or the intervention of a medical professional. And if you are there, ask for help. There's healing available, and I would love to help you find it. There's no shame in saying, I'm in a bad place and I need help. There's only shame in staying in a bad place and not asking for help. Help's available, and I would love to help you. And there are several people in this room who would love to help you also. But first, God invites all of us to just talk to him through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. But who has the time? Right? We're busy, busy, busy. But what if we took an evaluation of our time and looked at where we're investing time that's not paying us back? It probably wouldn't take long to find some time we could better invest in just talking to God. And it is simple. It's prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Draw close to him, talk about what you need, thank him. So the happiest book of the Bible was written in jail. What do you think made Paul happy? Probably not his circumstances, right? He wasn't focused on his situation. He was looking to Jesus. In his prison cell, in this letter, he wrote what we put into verses, 104 verses, and 51 of those reference the name of Jesus. Paul was looking to Jesus, and that's where his happiness came from. When the YouVersion CEO was asked about the popularity of Philippians 4:6, he said, in many cases, our anxiety comes from holding on to worries that we aren't meant to carry. So many of our fears and concerns aren't meant for us to carry because Jesus already carried them to the cross. And he invites us to come to him and talk to him because he first came to us. Right? We can lay down our worry. We can lay down our anxiety because God has proved himself faithful through the cross and through the empty tomb. And because of that, we need to not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace that stands guard, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to worship together taking communion. If you didn't get some, there's a table in the back with the elements. And it's got both bread and juice. So, you know, I could talk about this today and say, don't be anxious, don't worry. But if it weren't for this, those words would be empty. Right? This is the reason we can trust God. Because if he is standing guard over us with the power that defeated death, the power that brought Jesus from death to life and does the same for us, if we can trust him to that degree, we can trust him with our fears for today and our worries about tomorrow. Right? I was thinking the other day about some Old Testament stuff that will always be trying to wrap my head around. But I just always go back to, if I really can believe his mercy and grace in my life, that other stuff is so easy to believe. Right? This is the great mystery, that he would give his life for us. So God, we thank you for your sacrifice, that while we were sinners, you would send your son Jesus to die for us, showing that your mercy is more. So would you let the weight of this press on us this morning as we take this meal? Would it be used to draw us closer to you, as you are the restorer of our souls? Amen. So if you open the top part and take out the bread. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And then you can open the juice. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and says, "This cup is the new covenant confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." God, we take a moment now and think about personally what it means for each of us that you would do this for us. And we confess that we will always need this. We will always need the reminder of who you are and what you have done, of your faithfulness, of your grace, of your mercy, of the power that in a world that wants to drag us away from you, you give us this reminder and draw us back. God, that your broken body is what has made us whole, that your blood poured out is what washes us. And God, we thank you because of that truth. We can trust you. We don't have to be anxious. And when we are, you calm us with your peace. God, that when we are in true danger, you are standing guard over us. And that when we talk with you, you will give us a peace that goes beyond what we could ever imagine or do on our own. So God, you are good. You are faithful. And I pray that the concerns we have this morning, that what we hold in our hands would remind us of who you are, that we can trust you. And that, God, we wouldn't look to our situation, we would look to you, that our joy would be restored. God, as Paul looked to you in his prison cell, that we would look to you in life and our joy would be stirred, restored, renewed, because of who you are, because you are good. In Jesus' name, all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand and thank him together.